Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
One quick note before we get started, for those of you that enjoy all 32 picks and IPAs through the Seahawkers podcast feed, this will be the last show through the feed unless you listen through the Seahawkers podcast app that's available through Android, iTunes, and any of the other app stores. Should be on Amazon. But if you listen to the show through the Seahawkers podcast app, you'll continue to get the program through there. Otherwise, just search for all 32 picks and IPAs through your favorite podcast app. Welcome to All 32 Picks and IPAs as we get into week 14 of the NFL season. And we're going to be running down the picks, but first we'll get started with last week's winner. He's on a roll, Adam the Rant Emmert. How's it going, Adam?
Well, now that I'm on top of the two of you in the standings,
I'm glad you qualified that with in the standings.
Yes, I wanted to make sure that we knew what we were talking about there. But yes, a good week for me, retaking the lead that was rightfully mine at the beginning of the year. It's all coming full circle. The league is starting to make sense again.
And I'm Brandon Schultz, and I am second this week among the three of us. And Adam, I have to say it's looking good for you to win that that custom Russell Wilson football card that I had made up. So That's going to go to the winner between the three of us. And it's not going to be Jared because he finished last this week with 80 points. Broncos fan, Jared Tim.
That last week's games were a bunch of crap. Let me start off by saying that the Lions should have won that game. Nobody wants to win the NFC East. And no, this isn't rightfully yours from the beginning of the season. You're not entitled to a victory.
It is when I started the season winning.
No.
Yeah.
Look, I've taken a couple weeks. I've had some bad stretches, but it's early, man. There's plenty of time left.
All sentences that a loser utters.
I don't want a Russell Wilson card anyway.
All right. Well, gentlemen, this week we are enjoying the Red Stripe Jamaican-style lager. So put on some... put on some Bob Marley. Let's watch some Cool Runnings in the background and drink some Red Stripe.
And spark one up.
That works too.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
Cool Runnings, man. I haven't seen that in forever.
Oh, yeah, man. That was a great movie for back
Do you know what the
day.
Name of the sled means?
I don't think I do.
No.
Peace be the journey, man. Come on. Peace be the journey.
All right. I had no idea. I wasn't up on my Cool Runnings trivia.
Oh, well, now you are.
All right. Maybe we might have to have a Cool Runnings trivia night, as it turns out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to thank the miracle of technology bringing us all together yet again tonight. Brandon in Sacramento, California. I'm glad you could make it happen this week. This is going to be a difficult week for us recording all the way around just because of travel things that always makes it a little tougher. But this is pretty cool that we're able to still make that happen.
Do we want to get into the picks or did you guys watch that Monday night game? Speaking of teams that don't want to win the NFC East.
I was going to tune into the fourth quarter and then I saw the score.
Yeah, well, it was.
No thanks.
I started watching the game, got incredibly bored with it, went for a walk. Came back just in time for the fourth quarter and got to see DeSean Jackson try and make a play, fumble the ball. The Cowboys end up scoring, but then the Redskins, they score really quickly again. And but then they leave enough time on the clock for the Cowboys to kick a game-winning field goal. And it made an exciting game out of the last two or three minutes of the game that was pretty much a stinker all around.
And what, at 4-8, the Cowboys are still in it to win this division?
How crazy is that?
Good thing they didn't put Tony on IR so they can bring him back for a possible playoff
yeah.
run.
And a third broken collarbone?
Yeah. Oh, it's yeah. bad.
If I was in the NFC, I'd want to play any of those teams. I'd want to play every single one of those teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I really hope the winner of that division finishes with 6 wins, and it's the worst division winning record of all time.
So that they can overtake you guys?
Yeah. Exactly why.
Yeah, I guess I'm over the fact that we've had that record long enough. It can go on to somebody else, I suppose.
But you guys
were
a way better team than any of these NFC East dumpster fires at this point. I mean, you guys got into the playoffs and did something, you know? I mean, none of these teams are even going to stand a chance in the playoffs.
No. No. I have not seen a division full of chokers like this
ever
since for a long time.
Hey, the Eagles just beat the Patriots.
I don't know what to think about that. I don't know.
I watched the highlights a little bit of that game, and that was a lot of flukery.
Yeah.
You know, some special team scores and things like that. That's what happened there.
And DeMarco Murray not getting enough carries, so he talks to the owner on the plane ride back. But I think the weirdest thing of all to me is I think this might be the first time this whole season where Seahawks fans and Broncos fans have been happy at the same exact time.
It's true.
Wow.
I mean, you guys are looking like you have hope. We have our new quarterback kind of getting the reins, having his ups and downs. And I think it's a good time for both of our fandoms, to be honest with you.
Hey, let's see a repeat of that 2014 season. Well, I'll take a Super Bowl rematch 2 years after the fact.
The Super Bowl, but, you know.
Well, neither are the Broncos, so.
Oh, yeah, we will.
You guys will be one and done.
Let's talk about two teams. Let's talk about two teams out of the gate here that aren't going to make the Super Bowl either, and that is your Thursday night matchup. The 8-4 Minnesota Vikings coming off a shellacking, taking on the 10-2 Arizona Cardinals. Brandon, we'll start with you here. Obviously, we're very familiar with the Cardinals being in our division. You're familiar with the Vikings coming off of last week. With the Vikings, with all of their injuries, you see them having a chance in the desert.
As we were reminded over and over again throughout the beginning of that Seahawks-Vikings game, their three top defensive players going to be out once again. I'm interested, though, to see if the Cardinals can shut down Adrian Peterson the same way the Seahawks did. I doubt they can, but I still don't think the Vikings can outscore that Cardinals offense. I'll be rooting for it, but come on, Minnesota, help us out this week. I got to pick Cardinals, though.
You know, I'm going Cardinals, too. I mean, you look at this Vikings team that they've really kind of struggled these last 4 or 5 weeks. And with the injuries, they just don't have a very good team at this point. You know, their talent has been decimated. And I think their lack of depth is really starting to show. And I disagree. I think the Cardinals could definitely find themselves in the mix for a Super Bowl because they beat quality teams. The only team that they haven't played that would be standing in their way is the Panthers. I think they're one of the more complete teams in the NFC. I'm going Cardinals all the way in this one, especially at home.
Yeah, I'm definitely going Cardinals in this game. Obviously, we saw last week the formula to stopping the Vikings offense, which had all of its players. So they're not that half the ball is not decimated by injury. And really, all that is key in on Adrian Peterson, shut down every little dump-off pass and quick out to a tight end, and they'll have their struggles. And Cardinals are good enough. They're well-coached enough to they'll be able to do that. I think the biggest bugaboo for the Cardinals going forward is losing Chris Johnson for the season, who had been having a decent season for them, but an older back, and I'm not surprised that he got hurt. And just like the rest of their team, which is an older team, I won't be surprised to see them have another injury or two going down the stretch here. And I think they may struggle when they hit the playoffs, but at this point, they're winning this division. And they're winning this game, so I'm going Cardinals as well.
Yeah, Andre Ellington out again, or it looks like he's going to be out. He's been not practicing for 5 straight days. And user consensus on this matchup, 87% with the Cardinals.
Wow. I just think people have figured out the Vikings offense, like you were talking about, all the little things that you need to fix, because they got a young quarterback. They're not really opening up the playbook too much. And I think they're going to try and rely on AP the whole rest of the season, and it's just not going to work. I mean, yeah. Anyways,
difficult for them, I think, moving forward. But that bodes well for you Seahawks fans that listen to the pod, because maybe we could overtake them for the 5 seed, meaning you play an NFC East team.
Yeah,
when it comes time for the playoffs,
I think that's highly possible at this point, because you guys are the hot team in the NFC right now, and the Vikings are going the opposite way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, moving to another NFC matchup, we have in the NFC South the team that the wheels on the bus have fallen off, off, Jared, the Atlanta Falcons, taking on Cam Newton, who puts up another breathtaking performance in a stat last week. against what is a terrible defense in the New Orleans Saints. But it was a division game, and it ended up being tough, even though on paper it didn't look that way. Is this another one of those type of matchups? It's maybe a little tougher than you might think because it's a division game.
No. Because Matt Ryan at this point is going to he's going to throw interceptions. That's just the bottom line. He's never going to get to that point where you can rely on him at any given point in the season except for maybe the first five games when people don't know a lot about what they're coming out with. As far as the Panthers go, not every win can be a high quality win. You can't blow out every team. You can't always blow out the teams that you should. And they showed to me that they can win any kind of game. They won in a shootout. I mean, I'm 1 week away from having to pick against the Panthers with the New York Giants, so I'm going to go with them one more time here. They're going to win this game. Of course, if they don't win this game for some odd reason, I don't have to pick the Giants. That's the rule.
That's right.
But they're going to win this game, and I'm going to be forced to pick against them next week.
All right. Well, you know, guys, I've noticed that Falcons offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan, I think he has Matt Ryan's career in a death spiral right now, just like he has with the last four or five quarterbacks that he's coached. Matty Ice is reportedly overwhelmed by the Shanahan offense, and until the Falcons remember that they can run the ball for touchdowns and not have to throw to score, they're going to continue to lose. No touchdowns for the Falcons running the ball in the last 6 weeks. Crazy.
Wow.
I am going Panthers.
Yeah, the Falcons completely have abandoned the run game, and kind of inexplicably so. I thought that was something that they did well through the first part of the season, and I thought it'd be something, especially a guy like Gus Bradley, who's, you know, come from or Dan Quinn, I'm sorry, that you know, came from the Seahawks organization and saw the formula. So I'm surprised to see them kind of go away from that. And look, I mean, Matt Ryan struggling with the Shanahan playbook. Is that the first time we've heard that story?
That's what that happens every time.
Every time that Kyle Shanahan or Mike Shanahan or their mom Shanahan, whoever wants to be an offensive coordinator. They overwhelm their quarterback.
And look at the last few seasons where Shanahan's been the offensive coordinator on a team. Every single one of those seasons, he's been like 0-4 the last six or seven games, or maybe winning one of the last six or seven. They start off hot and then they just go in the tank, and it's happened every year for the last 5 years.
It really has. And I mean, and look at the quarterbacks that have been left in Kyle Shanahan's wake to this point. I mean, RG3 yeah. And any of the Rams quarterbacks. I mean,
yeah, pick one.
Yeah. It's just, he's not good. And I can't understand how he keeps getting a job. I mean, when you start talking about retreads in this league, he's one of the ultimate ones. And I think he's living off of the name and has been for better part of half a decade. So. But one thing interesting about the Panthers is we actually saw their defense be vulnerable for a change,
yeah,
and give up a lot of points. Doesn't mean they're not going to win this game. They're going to beat the Falcons. But, you know, yeah, the Panthers can win in a lot of different ways. But I think they also showed this last week that just like every other team in the NFL, there's not one complete perfect team in this league, and they're not one of them either. And they can be beat, and there can be facets of the game that can be beat. So. It'll be interesting to see what the Falcons do here, but I like the Panthers at home.
Well, and I think it was only a matter of time before the Panthers defense struggled for a game, which is fine. You know, you're down to your 12th game of the season, and you finally get a little bit of a struggle. But, you know, as far as the Shanahans go, it's the same with both of them. I mean, I remember Jake Plummer saying when everybody came into Shanahan's system, he expected a John Elway every single game. He expected a guy who knew the ins and the outs of every single offensive system that he's ever been in, and some guy who could just adapt immediately. And Kyle Shanahan's not getting that from any of his quarterbacks and Matty Ice, I think, had the best opportunity to get there, but he's not doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to wonder what they're expecting.
Well, he's not John Elway. I know that. I know to expect that that's not going to happen.
User consensus on this game, 90% with the Panthers.
Right on.
That's fair.
Okay. So, moving on, another NFC South matchup. The 4-8 New Orleans Saints, who gave the Panthers a game this last week, taking on this suddenly frisky 6-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers at .500, not a losing record for the rookie quarterback, Jameis Winston, who had himself a nice performance last week. Brandon, who do you got in this one?
I'm going to answer your question with another question. And is that, are the Bucs a playoff team now? Because they're kind of looking like it. I don't know if I didn't know I was supposed to be paying attention to them, but now that they're 6-6, they have my attention, especially now that I think that they have a good chance to beat the Saints for the second time this year. They beat New Orleans 26-19. That's when Winston got his first win of the season. And I think he's going to get over 500 for the first time this season against the Saints. So I'm going Bucks.
You know, if there's one thing the Bucks have going for them, it's that they got the best quarterback in that draft. And I think it took him a little bit of time to get comfortable. And now you're starting to see it. And he is a vocal leader on that team. He's the emotional leader on that team. You know, the coaches and the players have said that. And they're acting like they have everything to play for. And when I look at this Saints team, they're kind of up and down, but their defense is still that same horrible defense, which I think the Buccaneers won't struggle with at all. And I think the Saints are riding high playing the Panthers so well. I think they're going to come back down to earth at Tampa Bay, and the Buccaneers are going to win this game.
Yeah, I like the Saints' offense in the last game, obviously. I mean, Drew Brees was throwing it up and down the yard and all that. But the thing is he can't be consistent like that in this offense anymore. They haven't shown it all year.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers are just a more complete team all the way around, even with the second-best quarterback in the draft this last year. And I really like the Bucs in this situation. They're just a more talented team top to bottom on the roster, and they're at home. I'm going with the Bucs.
Well, they're playing with a lot of fire, too. I mean, this team acts like they want to win every single game, and they think they can. Brandon, I'm with you. I didn't think I had to pay attention to these guys at all from the beginning of the season. I was like, well, they're going to struggle, you know. But only Mariota's struggling, so whatever.
Yeah. He didn't struggle last week.
If the Vikings keep losing due to injuries, the Bucs could sneak into the playoffs. Is it, if they continue to win? And user consensus on this game, 66% with the Bucs, 34% with the Saints.
Well, Bucks only be trailing the Vikings by one game if these picks go the way we've said so far.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, moving on to a dumpster fire game. Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers on the road taking on what I guess it sounds like is Manziel and the Browns, yeah. Jared. I don't know.
You know, I don't think this Browns team is going to play behind Johnny Manziel. I think he'll be exciting to watch. I think he's going to make some things happen. I also think he's going to get crushed 3 or 4 times. But talk about a quarterback who has his team playing well is Blaine Gabbert. They're behind him. They love this guy. I mean, he's got some wheels. He's making some good, accurate throws. I think he definitely took his game up a few notches after he got to sit and look at the game for a while rather than be thrown into the mix right away as a rookie. And so I think Blaine Gabbert's much improved. I think the 49ers are going to win this game on the road.
Yeah, it almost reminds me how Alex Smith had a similar turnaround, although Alex Smith did it while he was still on the team that drafted him. But kind of turning it around in that same way of having year after year where it doesn't quite have together, and then finally it all seems to come together. And yeah, strangely, Gabbert seems to have it figured out for I'm a little bit shocked, but yeah, watched him. That he had like a 40-yard touchdown run in last week's win, and yeah, man, I'm going with the 49ers this week against the Browns.
Yeah, so a battle of two of the worst 6 coaches in this league, between Tom Sula and Pettine. The only difference is that the Browns have completely given up on Mike Pettine. They have no respect for him, even though he was trying to keep that respect by benching Johnny Manziel. It seems to have backfired. I don't think anybody respects him there. The 49ers continue to play hard under Tom Sula. They're not a good team, and they're not well coached, but at least they're playing hard. And Blaine Gabbert is having, just like you guys said, a renaissance. I'm going with the Niners here.
I got a question for you. You keep saying that Tom Sula is his bad coach.
Mm-hmm.
With all the lack of talent, how is he such a bad coach? He's got this 49ers team actually playing with some heart in a season where they lost every single bit of leadership they ever had. How is he a bad coach after he's now gotten his team to rally behind him and its quarterback, and now they're 4-8 after looking like they may not win a game all year?
I'll tell you exactly why he's a bad coach, Jared, and that's because after the Seahawks played the 49ers, you had a couple of their main defensive players come out and say, Thomas Rawls? We had never even heard of him. We had no idea we even had to prepare for him. If you're the head coach of a football team, especially from the defensive side of the ball, and you don't even give your guys a scouting report on the starting running back that you're going to play that week, you're an awful coach. And they got house that week. So, yeah.
He's a horrible coach because he overlooked one undrafted free agent.
He overlooked a starting player on the team you're going to play that week.
That one example is your example of why he's a bad coach.
You asked me to give you at least one. There's one right okay, there. Okay. He's overmatched.
Sure.
User consensus on this game, guys, 73% with the 49ers.
Wow.
Yeah, a little surprising that it's that high, 27% with the Browns.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our beloved Seahawks, Brandon, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. We probably don't even have to talk about this game much, to be honest.
No, not. I don't think so. This is the user consensus lock of the week. Only 8% think the Ravens will win at home this week. And my guess is that it's the same 8% at the bottom of all the other pick 'em leagues that are desperate enough to try and get back in their leagues. But not me. I'm not desperate enough. I'm picking the Seahawks.
All right, Jared. I know you're not desperate.
No,
so.
I'm going Seahawks. Ravens are a horrible team. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that there's a team that you know their starting quarterback will spot you 7 points every game with a pick six in Matt Schaub. Yeah, I mean, that's just easy.
What is the stat? Isn't it like 5 straight games he's had a pick six or something
like that?
I think
it's more than that. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember what it was, but I wasn't really surprised when I heard it.
As a starter, back in 2013, he had 4 games in a row, and I believe he's only done it... It's only twice now this season, right? So this will be going for 3.
He only had 2 starts, though, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
he's bad.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah. There's a few things you can set your watch to in life. One of them is Old Faithful. The other is Matt Schaub throwing a pick six.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about this more in our show later this week, Adam. I have some really interesting stats to go along with the whole pick six phenomenon of Matt Schaub.
Oh, neat. Okay. All right. Well, that's the House of Horrors for Matt Schaub, right? I mean, that was when this pick six streak started and basically ended his career was when Richard Sherman picked him off and took him to the house as the Texans quarterback. I don't see him having redemption. All right, moving on. Detroit Lions 4-8 somehow, some way. The St. Louis Rams 4 games under 500, also a 4-8. I don't see them going 4-0 from that point forward and finishing 8-8. But you know, who knows? Whatever. Like that's their traditional spot. Now, Jared, these are two uninteresting teams. So good luck.
Well, I think the Lions are a much more interesting team than the Rams. Mm. They should be 5-7. Okay, they should be 5-7. I remember texting Adam
they're 4-8.
Halfway through that game, I was like, this is looking good for my picks, and he sends me back a few swear words and some other choice words.
Yeah.
Crappy. And then at the end of the game, wouldn't you know, this is good for my picks. Anyway.
Good week for picks.
Yeah. I think the Lions are going to win this game because they're a better team, man. St. Louis Rams are a horrible team. They have nobody at quarterback. And the Lions, for some reason, maybe that game broke their back because at this point they have no chance at the playoffs. I mean, they needed to basically win out, and then the Packers come and throw a Hail Mary to end their season. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond. I do think they are the better team, and I think they should win this game in a dome against the Rams.
Adam, the Lions broke the 18-point rule. They were up by 20 points over the Packers. And for that, I think they should something bad should happen to them. Well, something did bad. Something bad did happen to them because they got beat by the Packers in a Hail Mary pass at the end of that game. But I'm hoping, Adam, that I can pick back up on my Ram streak and helping them lose by picking them to win again this week. Although I do have to say that, like you said, I mean, if they're going to get to 7-9, they're going to have to beat all the other teams that they play this season, not named the Seahawks. So, but I'm sticking with the Rams, and 37% user consensus. That's all. Again, 2-4-8 teams going at it, and the home team only gets 37%. The Lions at 63.
So Brandon going with the Rams, trying to buck the trend here. You know, the Lions. I will say this, man, that face mask call that set up Aaron Rodgers for the Hail Mary pass wasn't a face mask. Now, if you watched it in real time, though,
it looked bad.
It looked bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, when I hear Lions fans sad pandas about this, I get it. It technically is the wrong call, but man, if you're the ref in that moment, I know what I would have thrown the flag.
Yeah, well, and you can't review that anyway.
Against us like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, but it happened too fast. You can't pin it on that.
No, no, and it just looked. I mean, just the way that it went down. I mean, maybe Aaron sold it a little bit. I don't know, but
yeah, not a reviewable call. Just knock down the pass. Everybody knows the Hail Mary's coming, except for apparently the Lions defense, who were playing a defense as though they were going to lateral the ball around the field one more time. It baffles me that they didn't think that they didn't put Calvin Johnson into the secondary to help bat that pass down in the end zone. That's why they lost.
So what scares me about picking the Lions in this game, which I'm going to do, is the fact that they knew the Hail Mary was coming, yet somehow still couldn't stop it. We all know what's coming with the Rams, right? Todd Gurley left, Todd Gurley right, sweep to Tavon Austin, and then a bomb from one of the quarterbacks. like that. That's their entire offense.
They could still blow this
game. They could still blow this game. But, you know, as long as Jim Caldwell is listening, which I'm sure if he tunes in, he's listening because he's surely not talking, then maybe the Lions win this game. Go with the Lions. All right. So we watched the Washington Redskins last night. Brandon somehow choke away the lead, somehow trying to choke away the division, going against Jay Cutler in the Bears, who look good at times, look perplexing at times. Well, I mean, a microcosm of Jay Cutler's career. Who do you take? The franchise that can't seem to get it on track with a craptastic owner, or a franchise that can't seem to get it on a track with a enigmatic quarterback?
Ugh, 2-5-7 teams that you can't count on to beat other bad teams, and they're playing each other. Flip a freaking coin on this game. I'm going Bears, I guess.
That's solid analysis.
You know, that's all I got for this one.
When I've seen these teams, both of them have had flashes of being okay, just like you said, Adam. But I think the flashes of being good have been stronger on the Redskins side at times than they were on the Bears. So I'm going Redskins. That's it. I also flipped the coin, and that's exactly what I was going to say about whichever team that landed on.
You know what? I have a hard time arguing with you. I think the Washington team is a better all-around team. Just I've said this a couple times. They're just mediocre at everything. They're not great at anything. They're not awful at anything. They're just great and mediocre at everything. You know, I mean, from just start to finish. The Bears, they tend to have these stretches where they're a little bit hot or a little bit cold. They're streaky. I'm going with the Bears because they're at home. So there's that.
The Bears side of the coin, guys, came up 68 times compared to 32 times for Washington.
Oh, huh.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm going underdog.
Guess so. I wouldn't be surprised if I lose that.
It's not an underdog. That's just the way the coin flip went that many times for all the other users out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the point spread is. So, all right. AFC West matchup, Jared, in your wheelhouse. 3-9 San Diego Chargers on the road, which is what they've been all year.
Oh, yeah.
Every game. Taking on suddenly the sizzling Kansas City Chiefs. I think I know your pick here.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were lucky enough to have a home game in San Diego last week. They showed an overhead view of the stadium, and it was orange. And, you know, the Chargers, as good as Phillip Rivers has played this year, we basically beat him with our third-string defense in the second half. We had so many guys go down who are probably going to be out this week. They're just not a good team. Their defense is slow as can be. Eric Weddle is, Adam, you and I have agreed on his play, his entire career, how overrated he is, and holy cow was he slow last weekend. Yeah. I mean, but he's always slow. I'm going Chiefs at home. I mean, there's a million reasons. I'm going Chiefs at home.
You're betting against Eric Weddle's beard in this game?
Not so much that I'd bet against a man's beard. I mean, that's not right.
No, that's personal.
Exactly. I don't get that personal. I'm just glad that the Chiefs are actually playing well, because they were my pick, guys, to be the NFC Championship or the AFC Championship representative in the preseason, and they're on a comeback to prove me right. Along with an incredibly weak final four game schedule, but I'm going to be on the Chiefs bandwagon into the playoffs, and starting with right now. So going Chiefs.
As much as I don't want to help my dad's team out here in the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs, even though he whined about the officiating this last week, yet somehow won. You know, like, stop it. And I think that's what I texted him back, was just stop it.
Stop it.
But, the Chiefs somehow have started to expand the playbook and somehow convinced Alex Smith to throw it down the field a little further. And it's really paid dividends for them. I think the Chiefs' defense still oscillates between being very good and mediocre at times, but I can't rely on this Chargers team, so go on Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Well, the Chiefs are on pace to get a wild card, and they do have a weak schedule. They're going to go 11-5 and be a first-round playoff loss, but yeah. I think it's this running game. Without Jamaal Charles, they are now a north-south running team rather than dance around and try to do things laterally, and I think it's benefited their offense, but they're still going to lose in the first round.
Yeah, another one of the most lopsided user consensus this week, 91% with the Chiefs.
Oh, all right. My beloved Buffalo Bills, 6-6, who punished me for not picking against or not picking with them last week and taking Brandon's Texans. Brandon, my Bills on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles, who somehow beat the Genghis and sent him to his second loss in 2 weeks. In Foxborough, what do you think about this? Philly at home.
Well, I'm kind of thinking that since the Bills did beat my Texans last week, that I should probably roll with them this week. And, you know, the Eagles get that big win over the Patriots, although they did almost let it slip away. They almost let a 21-point lead slip away, fumbling the ball. They fumbled the ball away in the final minutes. So, you know what I'm going to do this week? I'm going to pick against every NFC East team this week because I can, and that means I'm picking the Bills over the Eagles.
You know, I can't make sense of that game with the Eagles and the Patriots last week, but like you said, out of fluky, it's just going to be a fluke. And the Bills, Brandon, the week that I jump aboard on the Texans, they make me walk the plank. That was a bunch of crap, man.
Yep.
The Bills have killed me all year, and so I don't know what to do here. I'm very conflicted, especially with what happened in the Patriots game, but I'm going to pick the Bills. And they'll probably lose, but if I pick the Eagles, they would lose. I'm going to lose this game, but I'm picking the Bills.
Problem of this game is these are two teams that win a game where you're like, oh, wow, these guys have it together. They're on track. You know, they're either going to win another division or sneak into the playoffs under the wild card, and then the next week they lay an egg. And I mean, that's what they do week after week after week. Problem is they both won last week, so I can't just choose the one that's going to lay the egg the next week. I just think that the Eagles' win last week was more dependent on a couple fluky special teams things happening, a block punt return for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown. I think that's hard to duplicate on a weekly basis. The Bills actually, you know, played a relatively normal game to get to their win. So I'm taking Sexy Rexy in the Bills on the road.
62% with the Bills, 38% with the Eagles.
So we seem to talk about Chip Kelly every week because he's kind of a fascinating guy.
You know,
he's done all these things. What is the state of Chip Kelly this week after beating the Patriots? Has it changed for you guys at all and your opinions about him?
No, not for me.
He's still going to maybe be gone?
Yeah, I mean,
if I were the owner of the Eagles, Chip is gone. But the owner of the Eagles seems to be invested in Chip. I would just watch or at least strip him of his GM duties.
Yeah.
Because when I watched what he did this offseason, I mean, I've said from the beginning, like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. I always felt DeMarco Murray was overrated. Check. I always thought Sam Bradford is who he is, a guy who can play on rhythm, but if you do anything other but that, he's a struggle machine. And check. That's what he's done this entire time. You trade away LeSean McCoy and all of your really talented players in the midst of a power struggle of some kind. I just didn't get it, and it's showing up in the record. I'd at least strip him of his GM duties, but either that or I would make him admit that this time of possession thing needs to change.
Because it matters.
I think that's his biggest problem. It's just the time of possession. His scheme is okay, and I understand playing up-tempo, but there's a point where you're playing too much up-tempo, and they just make it so much harder on themselves week in, week out, and when it's working, great, but when he can't sustain a drive, it's over, and it's over quickly, and I don't like the scheme.
You have to have a defense. I think to make that work, you have to have a defense that you can count on getting turnovers week to week, And when you see them get some turnovers like they did against the Patriots and running one of those turnovers back, you see them actually win a game. But I just don't think that that's something you can count on consistently in the NFL week to week.
Yeah, I agree completely. That defense isn't very good. And the one thing about Chip Kelly is I think he should be stripped of his general manager position just because he takes a lot of pride in getting the right player to do the right thing in the right scheme and all this other stuff. Well, I don't think DeMarco Murray is overrated, but he doesn't fit the system one bit. You know, in Dallas, he was a north-south runner. He was a one-cut runner, where LeSean McCoy fit here perfectly because he liked to do a lot of lateral things. He liked to spread it sideline to sideline. So why would Chip Kelly go and get DeMarco Murray as a north-south runner for a guy who wants to spread the field laterally in the run game? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. And so I don't think he's making the right decisions as a GM.
Yeah, he struggled in that facet. And really, I mean, the NFL's caught up with the system a little bit.
Yeah.
And really, I know I just said it, but to harken back to it, the time of possession thing, I think, is gigantic. I mean, I don't know that this defense is devoid of talent. I just think that they're put in a bad position week after week after week. And, you know, you mentioned, Brandon, when they get turnovers and they do all right, but it's not sustainable. Well, you're making up for the fact that your offense stinks. Like, I mean, that's it. I mean, you got to have a good offense to go with it too.
Sure.
And it's just, it's not clicking. It's not clicking. And I don't know if Chip comes or goes, but I think if you're the president, probably at this point, you've invested so much in him, you're probably going to stick with it. But yeah. I don't like it. If I'm Eagles fan, I'm not excited.
Well, you heard the expertise on Chip Kelly here.
There it is. There it is. All right. Moving on to an AFC North battle. And I find this game to be extremely interesting, Brandon.
It's the best game.
We see a red-hot Ben Roethlisberger come into Cincinnati to face Andy Dalton and the Bengals, who have kind of been under the radar once they became defeated, but yet have still played pretty good football up until this point. Who do you got?
Yeah, it's an interesting game because one interesting stat that I saw about Andy Dalton, he's number three in the league at touchdowns per pass attempts. So pretty interesting stat, you know, when he's up there among the top quarterbacks. But I'm riding with the Steelers this week because the way their offense is playing, I think they can go into Cincy and beat the Bengals. I also see an opportunity to pick up a pick here, a majority picking the Bengals. And only 33% riding with the Steelers. I'm going Pittsburgh on this one.
Man, Brandon, I'm right there with you. I think the Steelers' offense is the best in the NFL at this point. I mean, they have the three best receivers on any single team, if you really think about it. These guys are incredible. Their running game is just fine with D'Angelo Williams. They can basically put anybody back there. I think he'd be all right. But when I just saw Adam's piggy. You know, if this was a primetime game, I'd obviously go with the Steelers because the Bengals do suck in primetime. But, man, the Steelers have really hit their stride, especially on offense, and I don't see the Bengals stopping them in any way, shape, or form. And even the Steelers' defense has played pretty well. But, man, you're not going to stop Big Ben right now, I don't think. And this is a divisional game. He's going to come to play. Those receivers are great. I'm going Steelers too, Brandon.
So the reason I showed Jared my pick before I started talking is I just wanted to make sure that he saw that I picked this as well. I thought this was the sneakiest pick on my picks this week. I really thought that I was like Mr. Genius on the outside looking in. But all I can really say about this pick, guys, is ditto. I mean, you guys both articulated it well. This Steelers team is impressive. And I just don't know that the Bengals have quite enough offensive firepower to keep up when it's all said and done. I just think Ben's on that level right now. And I know Andy's having a great year, but he's just not Ben.
He's no Big Ben.
And I just think that's all it boils down to. At the end of the day, I think Andy Dalton makes one more mistake than Ben does, and the Steelers win this on the road.
So
damn it, you guys.
We all thought we were going to be sneaky and pick the Steelers on this one.
This is going to be a great game. But, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the Steelers at 7-5 are looking like a top five team in the league right now. I mean, I don't know who's playing better than they are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they're offensively, there's nobody that the Seahawks have been up there offensively the last few games, but I mean, it's maybe one of those two. I mean,
I'd say Big Ben any day, dude. Nobody's playing like he is. Well, he's incredible. His accuracy is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm not taking a thing away from Big Ben. I was just trying to think of any other team that might even be able to be mentioned in that threshold, and I think that might be it.
No, you're wrong.
Well, I mean, Russell Wilson's more or less on fire.
Maybe they'll play a good defense down the road one of these days.
Well, they played Ben and beat him. Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota coming off of what Jared calls a struggling 3-touchdown performance last week and the win.
I didn't say he struggled last week.
Yeah, you did.
I just didn't say
rewind. No, you said you struggled this last week. That because I looked it up right when you said that, just to be sure that you knew he didn't struggle. Marcus Mariota.
Still not the best quarterback taking in that
and
job.
And the Tennessee Titans going on the road, Brandon, to face the New York Football Jets, who last week came down to the battle in New Jersey in overtime and flipped that pick in my favor. Thank you, Beard. How dare you bet against the Beard, Jared? It'll cost you. Brandon, are you betting against another man's beard in this game?
No, sir. I will be riding another man's beard this week.
You probably
in this
shouldn't
game.
Do that.
You got to qualify.
In this game.
Don't be riding a beard. I don't know what you meant by that.
I don't either, but that sounded like a euphemism.
Yeah, it most certainly was.
Move on, huh?
Another one of the most lopsided picks of the week's 91%. Going with the Jets.
Wow.
They're not sold on Mariota either, Adam. So, I'm going Jets this week. I do. I like Fitzpatrick. I like that Jets defense. They could be one of those sneaky teams sneaking into the playoffs. Although that's going to be an interesting race as it comes down to it, guys, because the Jets are right in there. The Chiefs are right in there. The Steelers. I can't see the Steelers missing the playoffs the way they're playing. This is going to be interesting whether or not the Jets make it in.
You know, I don't know if the Jets will make it in just because the Steelers are super hot and the Chiefs don't have any hard teams to play.
Right, exactly.
I think this game, Mariota is he's pretty good. I mean, he's shown that he could be a franchise quarterback, but his team is not good. He's got no talent around him. The Jets are inconsistently sitting at 7-5, and there's no way they should have won that game because I picked the Giants, and the Giants should have won it. However, I'm going with the Jets at home because the Titans just don't have a lot of talent on the team.
I think you put it well about Mariota being a good quarterback, but, you know, just really the franchise around him is no good. I mean, that coach is full of malarkey. And it's just not good.
Wah, wah, just, wah.
Yeah. Your bad pun of the week, folks. There it is.
Ding, ding.
There it is. I'm going Jets at home. So, Jared, it's the Indianapolis Colts at 6-6. Matthew Hasselbeck struggled. He struggled last week coming up against the perplexing, always perplexing, Blake Bortles in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were defeated last week by the best quarterback in this year's draft, Marcus Mariota. Are you rolling with the Matthew again, or are you off the bandwagon now?
No, I said I was going to be on the Hasselbeck bandwagon. I'm going to stick to it, especially against the Jaguars team. I think he's going to rebound and have himself a good game. He got hit a couple times. He was hurting last game. But I think he's going to rebound. They'll have a nice game against the lesser talented, less experienced Jacksonville Jaguars. Colts win this one.
All right. Well, since you guys sniffed out my other sneaky pick of the week, this is going to be my sneaky pick as I pick the Jaguars over the Colts. They're playing at home. And yes, only 29% going with the Jaguars. But Bortles, you know, despite their record, Bortles is putting together a heck of a season. And I'm just not that sold on the Colts defense being able to hold back the Jaguars offense this week. So I'm going Jacksonville.
So, Brandon, I understand how you would look at that Colts defense and be like, wow, I don't know if I can trust them right now. The only problem was they went up against Big Ben, who's maybe the only quarterback other than Tom Brady that you could say – I mean, the only quarterback you'd say maybe is better than him this year is Tom Brady. I mean, he really is on that level. So I don't know that I hold that so much against the Colts defense as I do chalk that up, that performance up to Big Ben's greatness. at that point. And the thing is sure, Bortles is having an okay season. This is probably one of those random games the freaking Jaguars win, but I can't go with them. And I'm going with Matthew in a must-win game for the Colts, who are tied within record with the Houston Texans for their division. Just trying to tread water until Andrew Luck comes back. Going with Matthew and the Colts.
You know, I think Bortles has actually been much improved. I think he's, you know, for being thrown into the mix his rookie year with no talent around him, I don't think he's having an okay season. I think as far as his progression, I think he's having a great season as far as what you expected from him coming into this year. But it's still not, I mean, I don't think the Colts are as bad as everybody thinks they are after that loss to the Steelers. Like you said, Adam, no, I mean, Big Ben's just killing everybody. Yeah. And so I don't think the Colts are that bad of a team. And yeah, they're just treading water, but they'll still win this game.
You know what's crazy, guys? That we just got done with all of the early games on the schedule. All of those games played at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and only two afternoon games. So that's wild to me that they couldn't balance out the schedule a little bit more.
Well, there's a lot of teams over on the East Coast. There's not a lot of West Coast teams, really.
Well, who play a little later on the East Coast?
Why would you?
Why wouldn't you? To balance
out the games.
Well, don't bother me with your facts, logic, and
there
reason.
Are just more people.
I can't handle your facts, logic.
There's some of us that don't care about watching the Broncos or the Packers in the afternoon. We want something different. And
nobody cares about those of you who want those things.
Yeah.
You know what I care about this week, Brandon? Who are the winners? Who are the winners from this week?
I care about that too, because the winner at the top of the overall group leaderboard this week, Wally's winners at 1640. He's holding on to it, and followed up by You Gotta Be Bennett to Win It at 1600, along with Natha and a couple people at 1590. I just pick so I don't get fined, and Little Hauschka on the Prairie hanging in there. But we did have two winners clearly standing out among the group. The Lost Alaskan with 170 points, along with We Will Sun. So there you go. Those are the – you can email us at gohawks@seahawkerspodcast.com or picksandipas@gmail.com, and we'll send out your prize. Also, in the Patreon League, I haven't mentioned – I failed to mention it last week, but the Lost Alaskan leading that – league with 1580 points, and also he, along with We Will Sun, finished with 170 points in that league too. So, and look at that, our Patreon patrons finishing atop both of the pick'em leagues. Well done, guys.
So basically what you're saying is if you donate to the show, the football gods will smile on your picks.
Exactly. I mean, it's okay. That's there's a clear correlation this week.
Whatever, I haven't found anything that benefits picks.
I don't know.
You haven't donated to the show either.
Yeah, and you finished last.
I donate weekly.
Some people would call this torture, not a donation.
Whatever.
Like, yeah.
You know, everybody's got an opinion.
Oh, and you know, I mentioned, you know, we take emails, obviously, on the regular Seahawkers podcast, but we generally haven't read them on the Picks and IPA show. But I want to open up the show to you emailers. To ask questions of both Brandon and I, and then also of Jared, or just tell him to, you know, punch himself in the face, whatever it is that you want to say.
I'm less into this idea than you are.
Yeah, I just really like the idea of a little more feedback from you guys.
Yeah, send those in to picksandipas@gmail.com. Spell out the word and. So picksandipas@gmail.com.
Very good, very good. All right, so Jared, another AFC West matchup. Derek Carr having himself a year. Going up against the Brock Ness Monster and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Who you got?
Well, I think what you're seeing in Carr is that he's trying to do too much. His defense is so bad that he's trying to do too much. He is some of those throws he made last week were phenomenal. They were incredible. And he's going to have a bit – well, maybe not. I mean, I thought he was going to have an easier game because we're so decimated with injuries. You know, we're going to have guys who are still out 1 to 2 weeks. There's about seven of them on our defense that are going to be out. But that's really shown what our depth is right now, because we still held Phillip Rivers and the Chargers to 3 points with all these reserves. I'm going Broncos at home, obviously, because the Raiders just don't have the talent yet. They don't have the talent there. We're going to win this game at home. The thing that I'm interested in is the next couple weeks where we have the Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals coming up. It's really going to show what Brock Osweiler is capable of, because he's going to have to open up that playbook a little bit more to try and beat better teams, I think. But yeah, as far as this game goes, we win this one.
Yeah, I'm on board with the Broncos this week, and Brock, you like a hurricane. Going with Brock over the Raiders, 91.
There's a million of them, man. It's great.
I know. We can keep it going every week. It's a new one each week. And another one of the most lopsided pick'em games this week, 91% with the Broncos, which is surprising considering I would think a few more people might pick the Raiders, but clearly that Broncos defense has a reputation in this league, and I don't see Carr getting by that Broncos defense. So, yeah, going Broncos.
So the problem, Brandon, is the Raiders defense also has a reputation, and it's capital P, capital U, capital TRID. It's awful.
Yes,
it's really bad.
That too.
Scoring defense are like 26th in the league or something like that.
And so, you know, when number 17 walks up to the line for the Broncos, he's going to be licking his Brocks. And like it's going to be a long day for the Raiders. And what I found interesting, Jared, is you said that, you know, the Steelers and the Bengals coming up are really where Brockalicious will show whether or not he's a good quarterback or not. But I really wasn't the Patriots win enough for you?
Well,
I mean, undefeated Genghis Tom.
I mean, that was nice. That was nice. But I mean, still, you're seeing these ups and downs of a guy trying to learn what it's like to play in these games during the regular season. And yeah, it was a nice win against the Patriots, that's for sure, at home. But you've seen him play a couple of teams that they're definitely lesser teams. But he's beat some quality quarterbacks on the other side. But really what it's going to amount to is us playing the Steelers and the Bengals. That's what we're going to look at. And, you saw last weekend, I mean, they're queuing on the rollouts. We weren't really running them at the right time. But we're going to have to open up the playbook at some point. I don't think it's going to happen this weekend against the Raiders, but we're going to have to do it. And so it's going to be interesting to see what we do in these next couple weeks against these high-quality teams to see if we can actually put up some points.
Well, I didn't actually make my pick, but Brock it up, it's the Broncos.
Hey, Adam, don't waste all of them in one week. I mean,
oh, there's like a million.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just scratching the surface. Yeah. Brock, you
pace yourself.
If you listen to anything about the Broncos or read any article about the Broncos, there's literally 5,000 of these Brock terms out there.
Yeah. All right.
All great.
they're fun. So, Brandon, your childhood team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
With the win last week, I don't even know who played quarterback. I didn't watch the game. I don't even know how that happened. I'm gonna chalk it up to Mercury being in retrograde or some
catfish.
taking on the Packers at home, who look like a shell of themselves. I mean, I think the Packers might be one of the most vulnerable teams to make the playoffs, other than the Cowboys, who might be the most vulnerable team to maybe make the playoffs. Who you got?
Wow. Yeah, when you put it that way. But you're going to really pick Matt Cassel over Aaron Rodgers in this game. If anything, it comes down to the skill of the quarterbacks and the fact that what did we say? That Aaron Rodgers wouldn't lose two in a row in Lambeau, but then he did. So
yeah,
I mean,
turns out to be the case. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah, I'm still sticking with the Packers in this week. And yeah, man, if they go down to Dallas this week, and you keep bringing up the fact that they're my childhood team, I think Emmitt Smith was just my childhood hero. So you can't lump me in with other Cowboys fans.
Oh, yes, he can.
Yeah, I suppose.
I suppose
you can. You did. But no, I'm going Green Bay here. And another lopsided user consensus, 91%.
Wow. You know, I don't think I know that the Packers receivers are having a tough time getting open. But if there's one team that's really not going to be able to cover these receivers who are having a tough time getting open, it's the Cowboys. I'm going Packers at home. And they are going to be a weak playoff team, but they'll get there. They just won't do anything. But I'm going Packers at home.
it was unlikely that Aaron Rodgers would lose two in a row at Lambeau. The only thing more unlikely than him losing three in a row at Lambeau is the Cowboys winning two games in a row.
And Matt Castle winning two games in a row.
Yeah, no. That would tear apart the fabric of the space-time continuum. That cannot happen. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers at home. All right, Jared, we got 10-2 New England Patriots on a two-game losing streak in a death spiral taking on the team tied for the division lead in the AFC South, the Houston Texans. We have our two favorite nicknames in the game, Jared. We got Tom. We got Tom Patriot in the Bradys taking on J.J. Texan in the Watts. Who you got?
You know, it seems to me, and I don't know if this is true, but after week six, every undefeated team that lost, they lost two in a row. You know, the Bengals did it. The Broncos did it. The Patriots did it. The Packers did it. And I don't see them losing a third in a row. Though this is actually a harder game for me to pick than I would have originally thought ever. But the Texans screwed me. The Patriots screwed me. I think I'm going Patriots and for no good reason.
Just because it feels better to be screwed by a better-looking quarterback than Tom Brady than Brian Hoyer.
Houston's defense is pretty legit, and the Patriots are beat up. I think this is going to be a close game, but the Patriots should win this game, and that's the only reason I'm going with them. I should go upset here and just pick the Texans, but I'm not picking any of Brandon's teams.
Hey, you picked the Seahawks this week. That was the smart pick.
That's my reverse jinx. I'm taking your approach to the Rams.
Screw you, Jared. Hey, you said that the Patriots probably should win this game, but they're not, Jared. The Texans are going to win this game because that offensive line for the Patriots, the J.J. Watt's going to run right through it. It's going to be a long day for Tom Brady, and Brian Hoyer's going to get it done for the Texans, and they're going to take the lead over the Colts for that division. It's going to be a good day for me, and finishing off Sunday night with a win, watching the Texans beat the Patriots at home. Now, you know, only 14% of Texans fans are with me, but yeah, that's where I'm at. Go Houston.
You're not far off, though.
So this may have been a little harder pick than it appears on paper. But the thing is that, Brandon, I imagine that every night when you think about the fact that you've come in last between the three of us every single week.
Not this week. Yourself. I beat Jared this week.
Well,
whatever. No, but you're still last out of the three of us. You're still last, sucking hind tit all year. And you want to know why? It's picks like these.
It's because I pick with my heart, Adam.
Well, you should start picking with your catfish instead because it would help.
I think your heart might be less intelligent.
Yeah. The Genghis Patriots over J.J. Watt, who has inserted himself in the MVP candidacy once again 2 years in a row.
You know, but when Brandon said the matchup is...
It's
the
more
Patriots
difficult.
Offensive line versus the Texans front seven. That is almost impossible for the Patriots to overcome. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but you saw how many times the Bills got to him. You know, we didn't get to him too many times because we sat back and covered the receivers, and it worked. You know, you could play them a few different ways, but the Texans only have one way that they can play the Patriots, and that's just to bring the heat. And I don't know, Brandon, you might be onto something here.
We'll find out.
I just think that if you're going to discount the Patriots after a loss that featured a blocked punt return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown, I think you're underestimating.
After they got brocked in Mile High.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jared. on to the last game between two teams I could give two less
catfish
about.
You're making me hit the catfish button awful lot today, Adam.
Only three times. You told me you liked having a few to throw in there. I'm trying here.
I'm glad that you grouped them together all at the end, though. That was generous of you.
That was the idea. And the more beer I drink, apparently it's easier for me to find the catfish button. So I hope you give one more crap than I do about this game, Brandon, and have something interesting to say about it, because... screw these guys.
No, I don't think I have anything good to say because, again, it's two 5-7 teams that you can't count on to beat other bad teams, and here they are playing each other. So I don't know which way to go, which is why I'm going with the home team. Well, here again, the Dolphins, I guess they did get another home win, but still not a great home team. And the Giants are, they're just one of those funky teams that when you expect them to lose, that they end up winning. But I'm going to stick with what I said earlier, and I'm picking against every NFC East team this week. And so I'm picking with the Dolphins because of that fact.
Well, Brandon, you said you didn't know where to go with this pick. I know exactly where to go with this pick. Adam hates the Dolphins, so that's one reason to pick for them. Second of all, I don't think in my life I have picked the Giants 2 weeks in a row, and I'm going to have to pick them next weekend. So I can't pick the Giants based on the fact that they're playing
Carolina. Lost on them last week, though.
I know it, but I can't.
But if you pick against them this week and they lose, then you now you're going 2 weeks in a row.
But I need them so badly to win next weekend. I need them so badly to win next weekend. I'm going Dolphins. I hope they get a win because screw you, Adam.
Understood, and that's fair. I'm not even going to be mad about that. Look, the only way that I can pick this game is a little bit like one of the games we talked about previous, where both teams they seem to win. And then after that, have an inexplicable loss. Well, the Dolphins won last week, so they'll probably lose this week. And the Giants lost last week, so we'll probably win this week. So Giants, I'm not even going with my Finns hatred on this game. Like this is just based on the fact that they can't seem to string two together one way or the other, either team. So I'm going with the Oppo pick. And going Giants.
I think that's a sound strategy, Adam, and I think one that 65% of users are taking and going with the Giants. Only 35% with the Dolphins.
No, they're wrong. Giants lost last weekend in a heartbreaker in the battle for New York. They're going to lose one down south this week, and they're come out and going to play some fire against Carolina.
Is this going to be another Monday night game that we don't watch?
No, because we will be watching it because one of us is going to be, you know, gambling on this for our 10 for the week. And we're going to be praying hard and watching these two 5-7 teams that we clearly don't give any craps about. And it basically what's going to happen is the Giants will win. I'll get to my 10 and I'll increase my 30-point lead over Jared and
You're
put
not.
This out of reach going down the stretch. And it's going to be beautiful.
You live in a whole fantasy world I don't even know exists.
Well,
it exist.
The reality world that I live in, I'm up 30 points.
Barely. That's barely.
I'm not barely up 30 points. That's
You'll drop that in no time.
I mean, even if I was up half a point.
That's a week's worth of picks.
Well, I mean, it's more.
Well, guys, for the first time in the history of all 32 picks and IPAs, we've made it to the end of the show. And we haven't reviewed the beer that we're drinking, the Red Stripe Jamaican Style Lager.
I had realized that right after we talked about the winners in that we only had a couple games left. And so I figured we'd just throw it in here.
Hey, it's a good a spot as any. And it's a really quick read, too. Looking at the label, it says, for over 80 years, Red Stripe has embodied the spirit, rhythm, and pulse of Jamaica and its people.
I like the beer, to be honest with you. I've always liked Red Stripe beer.
Well, you know, what's funny, Brandon, you have like a tally Red Stripe. I've never seen this before. It's like a supersized Red Stripe with the snubby, the snub-nosed bottle, which
well,
is kind of their
like
trademark.
Well, they call it a bullet bottle, right? So that's got to be like a 50 caliber, I think.
Yeah, oh, this yeah. is the 24-ounce, the 1-pint, 8-ounce bottle there. And I figured rather than go six-pack from the convenience store that I'd just go with the full-size bottle here.
I like your moves. I like your style. Now,
I felt like a boss carrying it out in, you know, a little paper bag, too.
You know,
you look like an alcoholic, not like a boss.
Well, one of the two, maybe, whatever.
Maybe an alcoholic boss. I mean, we've all had a few of those. But, you know, it's kind of a standard lager, but, you know, definitely a cut above your Coors, Bud.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just your generics. And so that's nice. But I want to talk about the bullet bottle a little bit because I think it's underrated. I really do. A lot of, you know, everybody talks about long neck bottles and how great they are. But the thing is, when you think about the ratio and the physics of a bottle that is being able to be tipped over, it's more like a Weeble. It's a little shorter, a little stubbier, and so it's harder to spill your beer. And if you're demonstrative with your hands like I am, not having that extra neck sticking up in the air, it's a little less of a target. And I spill the stubby bottle less. I appreciate it. I think it's a good move.
You know, I too think about the physics of a bottle, and the more beers you drink with the long neck, the top of the bottle itself is further away from your hand, so you have more room for error to miss your mouth. And with the stubby bottle,
that's a good point.
You eliminate that problem.
Yeah, that's the good point. Jamaicans nailed it with the Red Stripe bottle. They knew what the heck they were doing. I think it also pours a little easier too.
Hard telling out knowing there, but yeah.
It's one of those beers that I typically overlook more often than I should, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of those beers like you're invited to the barbecue on a Friday night, and you're rolling through the convenience store, and your choices are relatively limited. Maybe you don't have that one premium tasty beer that you would like to bring, but you certainly don't want to bring Miller Lite. This is
the one to go with.
And, yeah, nobody's going
to
look at you sideways.
Yeah, you know? Like, oh, hey, Red Stripe, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, and especially if you're going to a party where you don't want to look like a jackass and spill your beer. We just talked about the physics of the bottle. You're helping yourself out when it's all said and done. So there's a lot of great reasons for it.
Yeah, all in all, I'm glad we went with this one this week, guys. That's all good tips.
All right, did any of us have any extra headlines this week? I know I didn't because I've been busy and I'm an
catfish!
other than the fact that I love this PAT being a 33-yard field goal, this is insanely great. I think there's so many misses, it's wonderful.
You know what's funny about that is they were asking Pete Carroll about Hauschka's misses the last couple weeks, and I think just this last week, and he mentioned that he felt like the impact of the rule was going to be felt more significantly as the weather gets worse late in the season.
That's what I was going to bring up. It's going to be a lot more interesting, especially come playoff time.
Yeah, and that's going to be if it. I'm going to stick with my notion that if it comes down to a game where, let's say, the Cowboys manage to sneak in and get that NFC East spot, if it comes down to either the Packers or the Cowboys losing a game at the last minute because their field goal kicker misses an extra point, this rule is going to be changed back in the offseason.
For the two public teams, probably. But we did see this week the first time that a blocked PAT had been returned
for a
score and get your 2 points.
Yeah,
I believe the Browns did it this week.
Yeah.
And
I love this rule.
That's a really cool addition. I'm glad that they allowed those scores to be returned and actually count for something, because there were so many times where, you know, a guy intercepts a 2-point conversion attempt and then just throws the ball to the side, and it's like that's so anticlimactic when they could run it back for a score. That just seems so much cooler. And knowing that, you know, if it's a close game and a team going for a 2-point conversion could have that you know, could have 2 points go the other way and really have a dramatic impact on the game. It's a good change. I'm kind of, it does make the extra point a little more exciting, and I'm good with it for now because, if you have a field goal kicker that's anti-clutch enough to miss it in that kind of situation, I suppose the team does kind of deserve to lose, right?
I think it adds an element of strategy to the game, to be honest, because now you're seeing teams like Pittsburgh who are going for 2-point conversions in the first half just to try to lengthen any sort of lead they might build. I love it.
Well, and when they look at their statistics with Big Ben running the 2-point conversion, it's over 50%. So, I mean, if you're more likely to score than to not to, like, you're probably going to try it. Now, the thing is that what you mentioned, Brandon, about, you know, kickers being anti-clutch and that maybe affecting the game, I like the idea, as do you, that a team is punished if you're going to skimp at the kicker position and try to overlook a third of the game, which is special teams. Mm-hmm. And I just think... I like the complexity to the game that is added by this, and it's showing up all year.
And it's gotten worse as the weather has gotten colder. You saw a lot more misses now than you did week 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm. And there was still a significant amount then.
Yep.
So it's been fun and a cool addition to the league this year without changing the fundamental basics of the game. And for that, as much as we kill – the NFL on some of their arcane rules and things that we can't quite understand. Catch rule. give them some credit here. They came through in the right way.
All right, guys. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week's show.
Yeah.
Very much so. I think with that, there's only two things left to say. And I think to start with, that's hooray beer.
Hooray beer.
And, hooray football.
Hooray football.
Hooray football.
Rock on.
Go Hawks.
Russ for MVP.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen ed provided by Strayer University affiliates of Fuel Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.